Well, grace and peace to you on this rainy Sunday morning. To me, this seems just a little bit like heaven on a time when the earth needs a good drink. And it's good to see it, even if it is a Sabbath morning, you get wet on your way to church. It's good to have you with us. For those of you who are here for the first time since I have been here, my name is Paul Baker, and I have had the great privilege of serving as the interim pastor here at College Church for this summer, beginning in June. And today, I have the great privilege of announcing that it's my last Sunday. And there'll be more about that as the morning progresses. But it is good to have you with us. I do this often. And last week it didn't work. Does it work today?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Do I need to repeat anything? No, okay, good, good. Glad to hear it. Our third scripture reading, continues in the book of Jonah, the third chapter, through 3:1 through 4:11. Listen again for the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast. And everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered in sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah. Let us pray. Almighty God, your servant Jonah walks a journey that is similar to our journeys even to this day. And so we pray that you will soften our hearts to hear your call on our lives and respond in a way that serves your eternal purposes. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, last week, for any of those who were here, I mentioned that today we'll be preaching this sermon on Jonah and trying to answer the question, is Jonah a hero? So for those of you who've had time to think about it, I'm just sort of curious, how many of you think Jonah was a hero? Well, we have one person disagreeing with the rest. So how many think Jonah was not a hero? Well, we have a tie. Well, let's see if we can do something to settle the tie one way or another. So let us think about this. God has a purpose for your life. Think about that. God has a purpose for your life. You know, as I get older, I tend to see a lot more things in shades of gray. There was a time when most things seemed to be black or white, right or wrong. But now there are many questions in life about which I am less certain. I'm less confident that at least I have the right answers. Even so, I'm absolutely confident about this, God has a purpose for your life and even for mine. You see, as Protestants, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. Therefore, I am called to ministry, and so are you. What God calls us to do may be different, but every single one of us has a vital role to play in building God's eternal kingdom. We need always to remember that God has created us in the divine image, and as those created in the image of God, we have sacred work to do. You have sacred work to do. In fact, you are called to be a hero on behalf of all that is eternal. And so am I. Now, according to the dictionary, a hero is a person who, in the opinion of others, has special achievements, abilities, or personal qualities, and is regarded as a role model or ideal. So let me ask, are you a hero on behalf of God's kingdom? As I read that definition of hero, I will, in all humility, say, I do not qualify. I really don't qualify. And I suspect that most of us, if we are honest with ourselves, would at first blush conclude that we fall short. Now, is there anyone here who really is not familiar with the story of Jonah? We just read it. Have you heard it before? We've all heard about Jonah and the whale, which is not right. It's Jonah and the big fish. So I've posed the question to you already. Is Jonah a hero? In today's text, we encounter this man named Jonah, whom we are told is a prophet of the Lord. God tells Jonah to travel to Nineveh, and there Jonah is to warn the people about God's displeasure with the way they're living. Now, we need to remember that Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria, the country that invaded and conquered Israel. It was the Assyrians who sent the descendants of Abraham into exile. The Assyrians are the enemy of Israel. So here is God telling Jonah to go into enemy territory and there to proclaim God's displeasure. How's that for an assignment? It's the one we all want, right? I don't see any hands. So I'm going to date myself here a little bit, but has anyone here heard about the Hatfields and the McCoys? You've heard about it, okay? Well, the Hatfields and the McCoys were two families who lived on either side of the river that divides Kentucky from West Virginia. And during the late 1800s, these two families quite literally fought each other to the death, even as they occasionally intermarried or worked for one another. It was a classic and bitter feud. Well, God's command to Jonah would be like God's telling one of the Hatfields to go to the McCoys to give them the word that God isn't happy with them. It's a dangerous assignment. And I think I would be tempted to do exactly as Jonah does. You know, in the Old Testament, you always go up when you're traveling to Jerusalem. When you are about God's work, you go up. But with that in mind, did you notice the language in our text today that describes what Jonah does in response to God's command? He went down to Joppa. And Jonah had gone down into the hold of the ship. Jonah doesn't go up. He goes down. He runs away. It's not a very heroic thing to do. Yet, Jonah's reaction is very human, isn't it? Jonah suspects with good reason that the people of Nineveh may not respond kindly to him and the message that God has asked him to convey. If Jonah does what God wants him to do, Jonah may have a big conflict on his hands. And we humans tend to avoid conflict if we can. So Jonah goes down to Joppa, jumps on the first available ship, and heads away toward Tarshish, as far away as he can get from Nineveh and from God's call on his life. Can anyone other than me relate to this story? Have you walked a mile in Jonah's shoes? Has there been a time when you felt God's tug, a tug to give, but chose not to? A tug to serve, but declined the opportunity? A tug to speak a word, but remained silent? A tug to intervene, but turned away? A tug to pray, then got distracted by the busyness of life? Have you been there? Jonah runs away, yet Jonah cannot get away from God. Jonah's disobedience leads to storms, in this case, quite literally. The ocean churns and threatens to capsize or destroy the ship. What's the crew to do? Jonah knows. Throw me overboard, he says, and the storm will subside. So they do, and it does. Jonah lands in the ocean, even as the waves diminish, and a large fish finds Jonah to be a really good snack for the day. It's a story we know well, is it not? Yet this is not the end of the story. While in the belly of the fish, Jonah invokes the Psalms to pray for deliverance. And God both hears and responds to his prayer. The fish spits out Jonah. And God again enjoins him with a mission. Get up. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. God gives Jonah a second chance. Friends, God has a purpose for our lives, and the God of Jonah, our God, is a God of second chances. You see, we may resist God's call, but God will persist. Hear this. We may resist, but God persists. And did you notice what happens when Jonah uses his second chance? He enters the city of Nineveh, a metropolis so large that it takes 3 days to walk across. And as he walks, Jonah speaks a grand total of 5 words. These 5 Hebrew words come to us in English as 7 words. Either way, the message is short and straightforward. 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Friends, the lesson of the story is pretty clear. It's pretty clear, but I have to tell you, I am not totally comfortable with it. It's a lesson told again and again throughout the scriptures. You see, God has entered into a covenant with humanity, a covenant to which God is ever faithful. The original covenant with Abraham was to bless Abraham so that he and all his descendants might be a blessing for all. You see, the covenant was twofold. God blessed the Hebrew people. That's the first part of the covenant that was for the people. God blessed the Hebrew people so they would bless all people. That's the second part, the part of the covenant that is not about the Hebrew people. And like the good news of God's grace through Jesus Christ, this part of the covenant challenges believers even to this very day. Jonah, a prophet of the Hebrew people, a man who has been blessed by God, is given a task by God, a task that evokes the second part of the covenant. Jonah is to warn the residents of Nineveh that God is displeased. Yet Jonah resists. And why? Why does Jonah resist? It turns out that there's more to Jonah's resistance than the human tendency to avoid conflict. You see, Jonah didn't want God to save the residents of Nineveh. This is what Jonah had to say to God. I fled to Tarshish, for I knew you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishment. Friends, Jonah knows. Jonah knows that God is a God of grace, even for those Jonah doesn't like. And Jonah has reason to be concerned, to be worried about this God of his. After all, when Jonah employs his second chance and warns the residents of Nineveh, what happens? The people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. The Assyrians in Nineveh did just what Jonah feared they would do. Then God did what Jonah feared that God would do. God changed his mind. And he decided not to bring upon them the calamity he had said he would do. Sisters and brothers in Christ, God has a purpose for your life and for mine. You have sacred work to do. In fact, you are called to be a hero on behalf of God's kingdom. And so am I. And here's the thing. We may not be regarded by others as those who have special achievements, abilities, or personal qualities. We may never, ever be regarded as a role model or ideal. We may never live up to the definition of a hero, even as Jonah did not. Even so, I want to be a hero on behalf of that which is eternal. And I want every person who ever sets foot in this church and worships at College Church to be a hero on behalf of that which is eternal. So what does that mean? What does Jonah's experience teach us about being a hero on behalf of God's kingdom? This story suggests to me that God's definition of a hero is very different from the one we find in our dictionary. And here's the key. The hero in the story of Jonah is not Jonah. The one person got it right. The hero is not, Jonah is not a hero. The hero is God. The God who is gracious, merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. It's the God who engages a nearly silent prophet to spread the word to those living contrary to God's will. The God who gives that prophet a second chance when the prophet resists. The God who uses five short, simple words from that one man to rescue over 120,000 residents of Nineveh. The God who uses an opponent of grace to spread grace. It is the God who engages a fallen humanity for eternal purposes. A God who takes our failings and somehow uses them to achieve amazing things. Friends, every talent I have is a gift from God. Even so, my first inclination often is to resist God's call in my life. I'm one who has been given a second chance to respond to God's call, even a third and a fourth chance. If you know the story of my life, I did not ever want to be standing here. And here's the good news for me and for every one of us. The God of Jonah, none other than the God of Abraham, the God who is the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is a God of grace who uses and magnifies our talents on behalf of all that is eternal. You see, God has blessed us and calls us to be a blessing to others. So, let me ask, do you feel God's tug on your life today? A tug to give? Even to those who may not deserve that gift? A tug to serve? Even to those who should lift themselves up by the bootstrap? A tug to speak a kind word to someone who's treated you poorly? A tug to intervene so that someone avoids a difficult circumstance they may have brought on themselves? A tug to pray even for those who are your enemies? How will you respond to God's tug today? Will you be an instrument of God's amazing grace? Will you be a hero on behalf of all that is eternal? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.